Ohio State loses its best player for the season. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Thomas Bradley. This is After the Score.
Welcome to After the Score from WOSU Public Media. I'm Steve Brown here with Thomas Bradley. This week we'll ask why the Browns gave the starting job to Brian Hoyer over Johnny Manziel.
And I'll have a preview of a golf championship coming to Columbus next month.
But first, if OSU wants to make a second straight Big Ten championship game, they'll have to do it without the conference's best player. Two-time Big Ten Player of the Year Braxton Miller will miss the entire 2014 season after injuring his surgically repaired shoulder.
Braxton was by far the most important player on the OSU team last year, but head coach Urban Meyer says the team hasn't spent a lot of time thinking about it.
We're worried about, you know, one thing that our team's been pretty good at and I've gotten better at is just worry about the moment. And the moment is getting a team ready. Quarterback's an important cog, but that's exactly what it is. It's a cog. It's not the team.
So I guess Urban didn't watch any of the OSU games last year if he's saying it's just a cog. I'm kidding, of course, but he's, of course, a bigger cog than just any other player on the team. Mm-hmm. I get what Urban's trying to do, but you really can't downplay how important Braxton Miller was to this team last year.
He was the team.
He was the offense.
He was the arm, the legs. Yes, Carlos Hyde was an incredible player and probably the most effective player on the field, but Braxton Miller made that possible because Braxton was such a threat to do everything else in the field. It opened a lot of avenues for Carlos Hyde. The receivers, they were all relying on Braxton Miller's arm to get it to him. This is a big blow for Ohio State, and it's going to make this season a lot more interesting, if you ask me.
Huge blow. I don't know how well JT Barrett, the redshirt freshman, can play. Urban does seem confident in him. That's a good thing. Here's Urban talking about JT Barrett.
I want to say JT had about 300 competitive snaps, throws, not snaps, this fall. Where when Kenny Guyton went into the game a couple of years ago, I think he had six. You know, so he's had a bunch, and he's a meticulous guy.
That's Urban Meyer talking about JT Barrett. Also, Cardale Jones, the new backup quarterback who was third string. Now he's back up after Braxton's injury. And I don't know. It's very much like Kenny Guyton. He seems like a similar player to Kenny Guyton, so it's not a horrible thing, I guess, maybe?
He's already kind of gotten the nickname as the distributor. Practice finished on Wednesday. One of the best practices Urban Meyer has seen since he's been at Ohio State. And finished with a drive led by JT Barrett, ended with a touchdown. JT Barrett's gotten a lot of snaps, like Urban said, gotten a lot of throws this preseason, and he's going to be able to take care of this offense. I think overall, the wide receiver core, the running back core, kind of lack of Carlos Hyde, but the wide receiver core and the running back core together this year is better than it was last year.
Yeah, and maybe even if you include the quarterback position, but the receivers have improved a lot, especially with incoming freshman Johnny Dixon. I think when you look at the running backs, the stable of running backs, it's you don't have the clear number one like you did last year with Carlos Hyde.
But you have Ezekiel Elliott, who is the clear number one now, and then you also have Curtis Samuel.
He is the clear number one?
Ezekiel Elliott will be the clear number one. His injury, he had minor surgery. He's all better. He's the clear number one. Curtis Samuel is going to be a lot like what people thought Dontre Wilson was going to be last year. He's that explosive guy. He's a fast player. Curtis Samuel will be a good number two running back. Don't forget about Rod Smith. Rod Smith's still back there. He's going to be kind of a goal line guy, I think. Got a big, powerful up and down runner.
He's huge.
He's a big guy.
And Dontre Wilson is supposedly at least moving to receiver, most of the snaps.
He's full time wide receiver now. Him and junior college transfer Corey Smith are going to be two of the better wide receivers. Dontre Wilson, I think, will lead the team in reception.
Wow.
I think Corey Smith will probably lead the receivers in yards reception, but Dontre Wilson's going to be a slot guy that JT Barrett relies on as kind of that hot route, that first look he's going to get to. I think this receiver core, Michael Thomas is in there. Obviously, we've got
Devin Smith
and Evan Spencer are both there. This receiver core is twice as good as it was last year.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the jump JT Barrett made over Cardale Jones. I had heard a little bit about it, but no talk of Cardale possibly wanting the job at this point.
It's JT Barrett, and I think they're doing that for the sake of getting the distraction of a quarterback controversy out of the way. I think they ruled Braxton Miller out for the season as soon as they could to get that kind of controversy out of the way.
And for redshirt implications, too. He can possibly come back and play next year.
He could get a regular redshirt. Remember, Braxton Miller came on as a freshman and played his freshman year, so he doesn't even have to apply for a medical redshirt. He could theoretically redshirt this year and come back, which he says he's going to. We'll see if that happens. But it was nice to kind of say, okay, JT's our starter, no more discussion. Here's where we're going. If we get to game 4 or 5, who knows what could happen if there's a slip up for JT. But right now, JT's a starter. It's interesting. Cardale Jones is like 6'6".
Yeah, he's a huge guy. Looks a lot like Terrell Pryor.
JT Barrett's like 6'1", maybe 225. Two very different players. It reminds me a lot of a tandem that Urban Meyer coached down in Florida in Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. I don't know if they're going to split playing time or whatever, but Cardale Jones, a little bit better of a runner, kind of Tim Tebow-esque. Chris Leak, JT Barrett, very similar in styles. Could be a very interesting combination they have out on the field.
Johnny Football, grab a seat on the bench.
Johnny Manziel, the Browns rookie quarterback who's been the subject of tabloid-like coverage most of the offseason, will not start for the Cleveland Browns, at least not right away.
That's right. Northeast Ohio native Brian Hoyer, the Lakewood Laser, gets the nod over Johnny Football, I guess because he doesn't flip off people on the field or he's not hanging out with Bieber posting their photos on Instagram. It's at this point, it's not because of their in-game preseason performances, I don't think. Hoyer, 6 of 14 for 93 yards. Manziel just 7 of 11 for 63 yards. Those stats really mean nothing. I don't know. Maybe the coaches know something. We know at this point. It just seems like they're going with Hoyer as, he's not a sure thing, but I guess he's more of a sure thing than Manziel at this point.
He has a little bit, now he doesn't have much more experience than Johnny Football.
No.
He played two pretty good games last season, then went down with an injury, right? It was just three games. He went down in the third game. He has two wins and went down in the third game.
That's right.
So it's not like he is like the proven veteran that's going to show the rookie the way, and it's not going to be like a Brett Favre.
The Patriot way.
It's not going to be a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers kind of four-year transformation. We're talking about Brian Hoyer, who's played three games for the Browns, and he played well in those games. But
he played okay. He didn't even play. He played garbage teams and threw a lot of interceptions.
He played like a Cleveland Browns quarterback would expect it to play.
Tough but fair. No, it's probably the best decision at this point. I guess, I don't know if Johnny Manziel was partying too much and didn't read the playbook, or I don't know why. They've handled this pretty poorly, I think, from a PR standpoint. Just they're going too far to make it seem like they're the disciplinarian father.
I don't like the decision here. I think if you invest in a first round quarterback and you think they're your future and you don't have a veteran at the helm ready to pass on the reins to the young guy, I think you got to take a gamble. I know the first five games for the Browns, they've got the Steelers twice, the Ravens, they've got a couple other tough games. The first five games for the Browns are tough.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Here's Hoyer, of course, being a total gentleman when he was asked about the news late Wednesday.
It's been my mentality this whole offseason training camp, you know, to come out here and act like the starter and be the starter. And so now that it's official, we can just move on and get ready for St. Louis.
Yeah, there's Brian Hoyer talking to the reporters on Wednesday. I think they've handled the Manziel thing kind of poorly, but I think starting Hoyer is the right decision at this point because you can go Hoyer, Manziel. You can't go Manziel, then Hoyer. I think you would wreck Manziel, at least mentally, emotionally, for this year. I don't know if you can start him, bench him, and bring him back, and he's fine.
It's only the Cleveland Browns can start a season naming a quarterback and plan on, well, at some point we're going to switch over to Johnny Football, because you know that's what they have to be thinking. They're going to want to switch over to Manziel eventually, unless Hoyer has...
Well, it comes back to Hoyer. They can't have that much confidence in Hoyer.
I don't think... they might. They might. His preseason numbers don't show it. His track record is okay. He's undrafted out of Michigan State. He's not like their marquee guy. Johnny Manziel was their first-round pick. I think you live or die by it. I think it's too safe a play to play Hoyer and then bring Johnny Football in, and he's going to save everything. And then who knows how he does. The team around him isn't great. He's not a great pro-style quarterback. He's got a run-first mentality. I've seen him miss a couple reads in preseason where he's had wide-open guys, and he takes off and runs instead.
Mm-hmm. How long till Johnny Football's doing shots on the sideline?
You could pull a Maurice Claret and have vodka in the water bottle.
I hope so. It's going to be, and even with him on the bench, the team is infinitely more interesting than they were last year. I fully expect to see starlets, maybe Rihanna on the side of the watching the game.
Well, LeBron James is going to be at every game,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, Biebs.
Drake will be there.
His guy Biebs will be in the front row. It's the circus will continue even if he's on the bench.
I just don't see the point in Brian Hoyer starting. I think you've put everything. I think you've put your hype in Johnny Manziel. And I think if you're the Browns, you have to live or die by that decision. They decided to draft him. I think that's their decision. I think that was their decision for their future. I don't like playing this game of waiting for the right moment to bring him on. It seems like they want to make a big entrance with it and be like, he's going to be the savior. I think the big entrance was the draft, and I think it's time he starts.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're just trying to be Skip Bayless.
No, I really think this.
You can't go back to Hoyer. You can't.
But why do you have that mentality? If someone names a starter at the beginning of the season, 31 teams in the league, that's their start of the entire year. The Browns' mentality is that that's not true. The Browns' mentality is that they name a starter and they plan on having three more throughout the year. When's the last time the Browns had a day one starter who played all the way through the season?
They never have.
Never.
Not since they've been back.
So I don't see – they're already preparing for at what point are we going to bring Johnny Football on.
A rookie quarterback who's 21 years old. What do you – I mean, it's going to –
Robert Griffin III, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton were all rookie quarterbacks, and they all played their entire year.
Johnny's probably not as ready as those guys were.
Probably not, but he's in a Cleveland Browns uniform. Is he more ready than Hoyer? You got to throw him into the fire. You can't baby him into this just because he's a little kid that decides to not learn the playbook and go to Vegas with Bieber.
I think you have to.
It's frustrating because you know how much valuable experience he can get out of getting clobbered in those first five games.
He could die.
He could die, but he could also grow stronger. If you're protecting him from the toughest five games.
I don't think that's the point.
I don't think no matter what quarterback you put out there for those five games, I don't see the Browns winning two games. They might win two if it's some miracle in Cleveland. I don't see them doing well. So are they scared about his ego? Are they scared about his, like,
I think they probably think they can win with Hoyer. That's probably what it is. They think we're overthinking it. It's probably Hoyer's probably better at this point.
I don't see it.
Muirfield Village up in Dublin has, of course, the Memorial Tournament this year. They also had the International President's Cup. There's another big-time golf championship in Central Ohio.
The Nationwide Children's Championship on the web.com tour comes to the Ohio State Golf Course, the Scarlet Course. It's going to be here next month. A couple players from the PGA Tour, the web.com field, will be coming for their end of the season finale at Ohio State.
It's kind of the AAA of golf. It's kind of a high tier, but not quite the best of the best.
The winner of this tournament gets a card into the PGA Tour. All the guys eventually, their end goal is to get a card to the PGA Tour. So it's a stepping stone to the next level.
And Thomas recently spent some time over at the golf course checking it out, see if it's ready for the championship.
Scarlet. A course just northwest of Ohio State University's campus, the collegiate home of Jack Nicklaus, and this year, the home to the 8th annual Nationwide Children's Championship.
Why am I always doing that?
One of the final tournaments on the web.com tour, which, to be clear, isn't the PGA Tour. It's one step down from that. You won't find Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson in this tournament, but what you will find is a field of about 150 professional golfers, many trying to win their way on to the PGA Tour. The field for the Nationwide Children's Championship is comprised of 75 golfers from the top money list on the web.com tour, and then 75 golfers that finished outside the top 125 in the FedEx points total for the PGA Tour. That means there will be some familiar names and faces in the championship. Maybe you know or maybe you've heard of Treble Immelman or Chad Campbell. Maybe local Ostrander, Ohio native Ben Curtis. All of these players and many more are eligible to compete on the Scarlet Course from September 9th through the 14th. A little bit about Scarlet, though. There's a reason it's host to the championship. It's a tough, technical course, but it's not overwhelmingly long. There's not a signature hole that makes golfers cringe at its difficulty. It's just unforgiving and tough. There are fairway bunkers in the exact right spot on every hole, as I've found out a couple times. The greens are massive, but slick like glass. You better not have a downhill putt on the 12th green, because you're most likely going to have a longer uphill putt from off the green on your very next shot.
That's a par. Nice. Par,
bogey,
water.
The course was designed by Alistair McKenzie, the same golf designer who created Augusta National, home of the Masters. You know, the one with the green jackets. And the course, with about 3 weeks until tournament time, is in great shape. The rough is getting deeper and deeper by the day, and the greens are pristine. Everything is close to getting ready to tournament-level difficulty. Even the grandstands for the birdie hole are ready to go.
I've participated and enjoyed that that great atmosphere in the past, this year with my new role on the Champions of the Community nonprofit board, I probably won't enjoy it as much. Right. But I can tell you, if there's fans out there that haven't seen it, it is really a unique part of the experience, and we would really encourage you to come over and get a feel for that, because every time that there's a birdie, beers are a dollar, so it's a great opportunity.
That's Rich Foster, Vice President of Marketing for Nationwide. The birdie hole returns this year to the Nationwide Children's Championship, and anytime someone gets a birdie on 13, beers at the nearby concession stand are just $1. Truly a fan favorite. I had my putt for birdie on 13, and let's just say there would not have been a big roar after I sent my putt 8 feet past the hole. The tournament's main benefactor, the namesake, Nationwide Children's Hospital, is expecting contributions, donations, and charitable giving to the hospital to exceed last year's dollar amount.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it starts with both the gracious generosity of the sponsors and also golf fans in Central Ohio. So this is going to be a record year for us with the Nationwide Children's Hospital Golf Championship. So last year we raised over $750,000. So early forecasts right now look like we're going to definitely beat that number. You'd also be pleased to know that in the 8 years of the Nationwide Children's Hospital Golf Championship, we've raised over $3.4 million. Again, just a testament to the great generosity of both the sponsors around Central Ohio, as importantly as the golf fans, because all the ticket proceeds do help generate funding for Nationwide Children's Hospital.
We've seen Nationwide as a sponsor for various sporting events around Central Ohio, the Memorial Tournament, the Columbus Marathon.
It means a lot. It is one of the top aspects of our sports marketing at Nationwide Children's Hospital for Central Ohio. You mentioned a couple of those events. Annually, we've been able to generate over $3 million directly for Nationwide Children's Hospital, which is a fabulous facility. A lot of people think of it as just a clinical facility for children here in Central Ohio. What you might not know is last year, Nationwide Children's Hospital served over 1 million patients from all 50 states and even 30 countries. So the funding that is generated doesn't just help Central Ohio, it's actually helping change healthcare for children all over the world because of the research that is done by Dr. Steve Allen and his team at Nationwide Children's Hospital.
But back to the golf.
I think it's really exciting. The new finals format has been a really refreshing change, I think, for the event. And it is a great chance for golf fans here in Central Ohio to come out and see some just absolutely phenomenal talent. And if you haven't had a chance to see what a course like Scarlet can do to those players, it can humble them really quick because it's a difficult course. It's beautiful, and what a great opportunity right here at Ohio State.
The media had a chance to test out Scarlet before the pros got a chance to show us how it's done. We went out there hacking through the trees, flying into sand traps, duffing, slicing, hooking, pushing, pulling, you name it. But in the end, really getting an appreciation for what these pros do. I wasn't able to beat Anthony Rothman of 97.1 The Fan for closest to the pin.
Good ball. Oh yeah. Keep coming in. Keep coming. Deep.
Jeez,
oh, and it's over.
What'd you hit?
That's a 6-iron, which is a 185 club.
I was playing to the back.
But I was able to hit the longest drive on hole 12 by about 7 inches, and I've got the photos to prove it. Thomas Bradley, WOSU News.
And that will do it for this week's edition of After the Score. You can always find us using the WOSU Public Media mobile app. You can always find us on Twitter at After the Score.
You can also find a full archive of our show on iTunes. Until next week, I'm Thomas Bradley.
And I'm Steve Brown.